at www.survive2thrive.net. That's survive, the number two, thrive.net. We hope you'll find the commentary from our hosts interesting and helpful. Steve Quayle will host on Fridays, Hawk on Thursdays, Steve St. Clair, Darren Craddock, and occasional guests on Wednesdays, Nathan Leal on Tuesdays, and Darren on Mondays. These are trying times that look to be getting more and more challenging every day. Our hosts want to keep you informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas, health that you will need to survive and thrive in these challenging times. Please keep in mind that these shows do cost money to air, and presently EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with information, but also with incredibly effective products designed to bring you to optimum health, your natural state. By supporting EnerHealth, you support this network, and your own health and ability to thrive in these times. Go to survive2thrive.net, that's www.survive2thrive.net, and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right, or call them at 866-762-9238, that's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com, that's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. Many of our listeners are already taking the products that EnerHealth has to offer, and we thank you for that. Their EnerFood product can extend the life of your dehydrated food supplies by one-third, simply by taking one tablespoon a day. In essence, the EnerFood and coconut combined constitute a meal replacement, so that can extend the life of your stored foods. And in addition to giving you energy and nutrition that your body needs, it has a two-year shelf life. Take a look also at the organic Coco Mojo and coffee, as well as our other immune-boosting herbal supplements. There are incredible specials for network listeners from time to time, so be sure to tune in often for important information and great prices. We trust that the information our hosts and myself give on these shows is truly helpful. We want to help reduce physical and other forms of suffering for you, your family, and community today and in the times that are coming. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy tonight's show.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Leal, and today is Tuesday, December 28, 2010, the year of our Lord. And for those of you that are taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. Well, here we are, folks, in the final week of the year 2010. In just a few more days, we are going to enter into the new chapter of 2011. And as we look back at the past year, many people may even say that it was uneventful. But for those of you that are asking the question, how eventful was it? Folks, the answer is it was far from uneventful, because it was year number two of the new depression. And if you happen to be new to this program, yes, that's right, my friends. You did hear me correct. We are in the second year of the depression of the new millennium. And this depression is right now in its infancy. And many, many events are still approaching. My friend, please make no mistake. Every one of us are going to be participants in this thing. In the natural, the economists are wording today's crisis with many phrases and with many descriptions. Many of them are trying to downplay the severity of what we are facing. But at this moment in time, I have noticed by observation that the present crisis is being called the recession or the economic downturn. And some of the brave ones might call it the Great Recession. Others may call it the end of the recession, because several reports have come out in the last several months that we are actually out of the quote-unquote recession. But my friends, please make no mistake, because whatever natural man seeks to call this chapter that we are living in, based on what we have already observed and how the news is sanitized and how the spin doctors are doing their best with their PR campaigns to downplay the present economic crisis, my friends, I hate to tell you, but this is a depression. And you know, folks, I do not wish to spin this, and I do not wish to play around with nice words, because reality is too hard to face. My friends, facing reality is what adults and grown-ups do. And therefore, as adults, we need to face these things. Because this chapter of our lives is not just numbers in a newspaper report or numbers in a government statistic. This depression is a beast. It's a parasite, my friends, and it's consuming factories and houses and shopping malls. And it has a very ravenous appetite. And it is also eating government buildings, infrastructure, and it has gorged itself on employment opportunities that the citizens of America could have had. Folks, this depression is a parasite that has plowed over the land of Yankee Doodle and has spit out desolation and a wasteland of economic plunder. The year 2010 is about to be over, and 2011 will be arriving with more of the same. But, well, let me rephrase that. It will be the same as far as economic crisis, but the intensity is going to increase. Now, I know that there may be people out there listening that can hear these words that I am saying and say, Nathan, what do you mean depression? Fox News said that the recession was over, so why are you saying these things? Why are you fear-mongering? Why do you insist on being negative? I don't notice the depression. In fact, I was at the shopping mall just a few days before Christmas, and I saw a lot of people walking around with bags in their hands. They were spending money, so if this was a depression, I wouldn't be seeing people walking around spending money. You know, folks, I cannot disagree with that. I myself noticed people walking around with shopping bags in their hands during the Christmas season. And I can imagine that many of you also saw the same thing. And you probably went into some retail stores, into big box stores, into the Best Buys and Target, Kmart, Walmart, Sears, etc. And you saw people spending their money. You saw people walking around before Christmas, getting ready to make their last purchases. And possibly the same thought went through your mind. And you said, you know, Nathan has been saying that we're in a depression, but look at all the people walking around with stuff in their hands. If this was a depression, would they be doing that? And you know, folks, a depression means that the economy is struggling. It means that a lot of people are unemployed, but it does not mean that everybody is unemployed. During the first Great Depression in the 1930s, according to statistics, 25% of the working population was unemployed. That means that 75% of the working population was not unemployed. It means that they had jobs. So even during the first depression, there were individuals back then that walked around and bought things, that bought Christmas presents and birthday presents, that bought clothes and cars and food. There were some areas of the country that were not as affected as other areas of the country. In fact, if you watch the black and white movie, The Grapes of Wrath, we see that the family from Oklahoma traveled to California to try to find employment in the farms and in the fields. And during that period of time, many people in the cities in the area of California and in some areas of the country actually did not feel the depression as bad as other places. So folks, a depression does not mean that 100% of the workforce is unemployed. Because if that were true, then it would be much worse than a depression. It would be something on the scale of Armageddon or a great apocalypse. Why am I sharing these things? Because I know that there are many individuals that are listening to this program that are wise. Many of you are smart. Many of you listen to these programs. And you're also an individual that is awake. But at the same time, you try to warn your loved ones and you try to share with them some of the things that I share, and you're met with opposition and with rebuttals that try to squash your warning message. So I was throwing that one out because I know those rebuttals are out there, and I'm sure that you've heard them. If the economy was as bad as Nathan's saying, how come there's people at Best Buy purchasing video games and computers? You see, folks, it's not the people that still have jobs that are proof of today's depression. It's the people that do not have jobs. It's the people that graduated from college in high numbers that still cannot find jobs. It's the people that are fathers and mothers that are going on 2 years of not being able to find a job, of going on 2 years of looking and searching and knocking on doors and being frustrated by doors slammed shut. And if you happen to be those individuals that I'm describing, my heart goes out to you, my friend. I know it's not easy. I know it's very discouraging and frustrating. But that's what this program's about, talking about these things, facing these things, not denying these things, because denial does not put food on the table, and denial does not change the situation that you're facing. Folks, in addition to talking about these things, I also seek to share information from the scriptures that will comfort those of you that are hurting to seek peace from God and to seek strength from God so that you can endure your chapter in this season that you are facing. My friend, please do not give up. Hang in there. By the way, real quick, I want to say that I just uploaded my latest message, number 159, and that message is a message of comfort to help those of you that are facing trials and discouragement. Those of you that are facing your own storm, that message is for you. So please go to my website at watchmanscry.com and go to the audio page and you will see the link for message 159. It will encourage you, my friend, so please go there and listen to it, download it, and consider the words that are shared there. Now, getting back to what we were talking about, this depression that we're in right now is not being told to the general population. It is not being revealed. It is not being admitted by the media or the administration. And I believe that that is very unfair to the public, because if the public knew that the economy was not as good as they say it is, then perhaps the public would be making some wiser decisions with their money. And perhaps the general public would be more apt to make long-term goals instead of short-term spending and wastefulness. But nevertheless, the administration is not going to tell the truth. And in my opinion, because they're not doing this, they're a bunch of treasonous liars. Folks, any person that took the time to do some research online would quickly find out that there is evidence that this economy is not in recovery. Just a little over a week ago, a week from last Sunday, 60 Minutes did a story on December the 19th called State Budgets, the Day of Reckoning. And in that story, they interviewed several governors of several states who admitted that they're broke. They admitted that they had no money to pay teachers, to pay state employees, and those governors that they interviewed came right out and said that they don't have the money. They also interviewed the financial analyst and economist Meredith Whitney, who, as a secular person, said something that was very truthful and very revealing, because she said that the most alarming thing about the state issue is the level of complacency with so many people. And she also went on to say that the state budget crisis across America have tentacles as wide as anything that she's ever seen. And she also believes that next to the housing crisis, this is the single most important issue in the United States right now, and certainly the largest threat to the United States economy, that being state budgets that are insolvent. So for those of you that doubt the words of Nathan, a very respected financial analyst admitted on 60 Minutes that we're in trouble. And when the interviewer asked her why people are not paying attention, she said because they don't pay attention until they have to. I have an audio clip, so listen to this, folks, from CBS.com, the 60 Minutes episode, The Day of Reckoning. Listen to this, folks.
By now, just about everyone in the country is aware of the federal deficit problem. But you should know that there is another financial crisis looming involving state and local governments. It's gotten much less attention because each state has a slightly different story. But in the 2 years since the Great Recession wrecked their economies and shriveled their income, the states have collectively spent nearly $500 billion more than they've collected in taxes. And there is a $1 trillion hole in their public pension funds. The states have been getting by on billions of dollars in federal stimulus funds. But the day of reckoning is at hand. The debt crisis is already making Wall Street nervous, and some believe that it could derail the recovery, cost 1 million public employees their jobs, and require another big bailout package that no one in Washington wants to talk about.
The most alarming thing about the state issue is the level of complacency.
Meredith Whitney is one of the most respected financial analysts on Wall Street and one of the most influential women in American business. She made her reputation by warning that the big banks were in big trouble long before the 2008 collapse. Now she's warning about a financial meltdown in state and local governments.
It has tentacles as wide as anything I've seen. I think next to housing, this is the single most important issue in the United States and certainly the largest threat to the U.S. economy.
Why aren't people paying attention?
Because they don't pay attention until they have to.
Whitney says it's time to start.
The money that we take in, that's all the money we can spend.
California, which faces a $19 billion budget deficit next year, has a credit rating approaching junk status. It now spends more money on public employee pensions than it does on the state university system, which had to increase tuition by 32%. Arizona is so desperate it sold off the state capitol, Supreme Court building, and legislative chambers to a group of investors, and now leases the buildings from their new owner. The state also eliminated Medicaid funding for most organ transplants. Then there's New Jersey. It had the highest taxes in the country, a $10 billion deficit, and a depressed economy when first-year Governor Chris Christie took office. But after looking at the books, he decided to walk away from a long-planned and much-needed project with New York and the federal government to build a rail tunnel into Manhattan. It would have helped the economy and given employment to 6,000 construction workers.
Lots of jobs.
Yeah. I'd cancel it. I mean, listen, the bottom line is, I don't have the money. And you know what? I can't pay people for those jobs if I don't have the money to pay them. Where am I getting the money? I don't have it. I literally don't have it.
Is this going on all over the country?
Yes. Of course it is. It's not like you can avoid it forever, because it's here now. And we all know it's here. And the federal government doesn't have the money to paper over it anymore either for the states. The day of reckoning has arrived. That's it. And it's going to arrive everywhere. Time may vary a little bit depending upon which state you're in, but it's coming.
And nowhere has the reckoning been as bad as it is in Illinois, a state that spends twice as much as it collects in taxes and is unable to pay its bills.
This is the state of affairs in Illinois. It's not pretty.
Dan Hines is the comptroller of the state of Illinois, its paymaster. He currently has about $5 billion in outstanding bills in his office and not enough money in the state's coffers to pay them. He says they're 6 months behind.
How many people do you have clamoring for money?
It's fair to say that there are, you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people waiting to be paid by the state.
So how are these people getting by if they're not getting paid by the state?
Well, that's the tragedy. People borrow money. They borrow in order to, you know, get by until the state pays them.
They're subsidizing the state. They're giving the state a float.
Exactly.
And who do you owe that money to?
Pretty much anybody who has any interaction with state government, we owe money to.
That would include everyone from the University of Illinois, which is owed $400 million, to small businessmen like Meyer Shaw, who owns a pharmacy in Chicago and has been waiting months for $200,000 in Medicaid payments. Then there are the 2,000 not-for-profit organizations that are owed $1 billion by the state.
The first words out of my mouth are usually an apology, because they have been, you know, put in this situation that, you know, really is unacceptable, and there's very little I can do or say other than apologize.
It's not just the social safety net that Comptroller Dan Hines has to worry about. There have been Illinois legislators evicted from their offices because the state didn't pay their rent, and stories about state troopers being turned away from gas stations because the owners refused to take their state credit cards.
The state's a deadbeat.
Yeah, I mean, the state of Illinois is known as a deadbeat state. You know, this is a reputation that has taken us years to earn, and we've reached, you know, the heights of, I think, becoming the worst in the country.
Not all of the problems that Illinois and other states are facing right now can be traced to the Great Recession. But the precipitous drop in tax revenues did expose decades of financial irresponsibility, reckless spending, unrealistic benefit packages for public employees, and the use of political gimmicks to cover up hidden deficits. It's forcing state governors and the public to confront some harsh realities.
This is different, isn't it?
It is very different. And the reason it's different is because the only choices left are choices that people previously have said were politically impossible, that you couldn't do. You couldn't cut K-12 education funding. You couldn't do those things. You couldn't talk about pension and benefit reform for the public sector unions, that these were third rails of politics. We are now left with no alternatives.
Just the third rail.
Yeah, that's it. I'm just going to grab it and go and let the chips fall where they may. This money's got to come from someplace.
In some ways, Governor Chris Christie is the political canary in the coal mine of the state fiscal crisis. He slashed New Jersey's budget by 26%, including $1 billion in cuts to education, forcing the layoffs of thousands of teachers. He got rid of 1,300 state workers and drastically reduce funding to New Jersey's cities, counties, and villages, which have their own financial problems. And he's still facing another $10 billion deficit next year. Long term, the situation is much, much worse.
Okay, let's talk about the pension obligations.
Sure.
$46 billion unfunded liability for pensions, $66 billion unfunded for health care liability?
Yes, sir.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money even for the federal government.
That's a lot of money.
And there are people who think it's worse.
Yeah, I think that's an optimistic view. Listen, at this point, if it's worse, what's the difference? I mean, it's bad enough as it is, so what's the difference? I mean, now we're talking about money that none of us can really get our arms around.
I mean, this is unsustainable, right?
Totally unsustainable. We have a benefit problem. It's not an income problem from the state. It's a benefit problem, and so we've got to change those benefits.
And what's the reaction been to that?
It depends on where you sit. I mean, I think the general public thinks, I can't believe anybody gets a pension anymore. I've got a 401k. It got killed in the stock market. I don't know what I'm going to do for my retirement. I can't believe people get a pension anymore. So I think amongst the broad general public, they've said, amen. And I think among the public sector unions, they're yelling and screaming.
And Christie is yelling back. He provoked a very public fight with the teachers union, which is one of the most powerful political forces in the state of New Jersey.
And you're not compensating me for my education, and you're not compensating me for my experience. That's
well, you know what? Then you don't have to do it.
It's a scene that is starting to play out all over the country.
Cuts, 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 and more cuts.
Governors of cash-strapped states are beginning to cajole or bully public employee unions into making concessions on what are considered to be gold-plated retirement and health care packages, which are now collectively underfunded to the tune of $1 trillion. But it's also the truth that some of the responsibility for New Jersey's pension woes lie at the doorstep of the governor's mansion. Christie and his predecessors have failed to contribute the state's share of its pension obligations in 13 of the last 17 years, one of the reasons the fund is going broke. Christie says it's ancient history.
We spent too much on everything. We spent too much. We spent money we didn't have. We borrowed money just crazily. The credit card's maxed out, and it's over. It's over. We now have to get to the business of climbing out of the hole. We've been digging it for a decade or more. We've got to climb now, and climbing's harder. We've got to do it.
The problem with that, according to Wall Street analyst Meredith Whitney, is that no one really knows how deep the holes are. She and her staff spent 2 years and thousands of man hours trying to analyze the financial condition of the 15 largest states. She wanted to find out if they would be able to pay back the money they borrowed and what kind of a risk they pose to the $3 trillion municipal bond market, where state and local governments go to finance their schools, highways, and other projects.
How accurate is the financial information that's public on the states and municipalities?
The lack of transparency with the state disclosure is the worst I have ever seen. Ultimately, we have to use what's publicly available data, and a lot of it is as old as June 2008. So that's before the financial crisis hit in the fall of 2008.
Whitney believes the states will find a way to honor their debts, but she's afraid that some local governments, which depend on their state for a third of their revenues, will get squeezed as the states are forced to tighten their belts. She's convinced that some cities and counties will be unable to meet their obligations to municipal bondholders who finance their debt. Earlier this year, the state of Pennsylvania had to rescue the city of Harrisburg, its capital, from defaulting on hundreds of millions of dollars in debt for an incinerator project.
There's not a doubt in my mind that you will see a spate of municipal bond defaults.
How many is a spate?
You could see 50 sizable defaults, 50 to 100 sizable defaults, more. This will amount to hundreds of billions of dollars worth of defaults.
Municipal bonds have long been considered to be among the safest investments, bought by small investors saving for retirement and held in huge numbers by big banks. Even a few defaults could affect the entire market. Right now, the big bond rating agencies like Standard & Poor's and Moody's, who got everything wrong in the housing collapse, say there's no cause for concern, but Meredith Whitney doesn't believe it.
When individual investors look to people that are supposed to know better, they're told, they're patted on the head and told it's not something you need to worry about. When it'll be something to worry about within the next 12 months.
12 months.
12 months.
No one is talking about it now, but the big test will come this spring. That's when $160 billion in federal stimulus money that's helped states and local governments limp through the Great Recession will run out. The states are going to need more cash and will almost certainly ask for another bailout. Only this time, there are no guarantees that Washington will ride to the rescue.
Isn't that interesting and incredible that this report was even on? You know, I find it real interesting that 60 Minutes over the past several weeks has been doing these types of stories, so I applaud them. Now, just recently, a Republican senator from Oklahoma, Tom Coburn, was interviewed by Fox News Sunday just a few days ago. And in the interview, he said some very telling things. He warned that, according to his calculations, the United States of America only has about 3 or 4 years left to get its fiscal house in order. Or he said that the United States is going to be facing the same type of austerity measures that we see in the Eurozone. And what we mean by austerity measures, basically that's a fancy way of saying budget cuts. It's causing a lot of people to be angry in Europe. Well, Mr. Coburn said that those same types of events are going to come over here. And you know, my friends, for those of us that have been watching and paying attention, this is no surprise to us. Because I expect these things to happen. We have already been discussing for the last several weeks that these things are coming here to the shores of America. He also went on to say that the history of republics is that they average about 200 years. And then, after 200 years, usually they begin to all fail over financial matters. So the problem that we face today here in this country, according to the senator, is that America has been living off of the future. Now, get this, folks. This is what he went on to say. He said that he thinks that we're going to be seeing an official unemployment rate of between 15 to 18% in the next few years, based on the direction the United States is going right now. He also went on to say that he believes that we would see the gross domestic product decline 8 to 9%. An 8 to 9% decline would make it more than obvious that we were in a depression. And he also said that he thinks that we're going to see the middle class destroyed if we don't do this. And by this, he meant doing budget cuts. My friends, I want to challenge all of you to really, really be awake, really be vigilant, and not let yourself go to sleep. Now, we're about to go into the new year. I want to challenge all of you that are listening to go into the new year with your eyes open, ready to face the events that are coming. All right, folks? And as we get into 2011, I believe that we are going to be hearing some very incredible stories. And some of the things that we've been anticipating, we are going to see them finally arrive. You know, folks, this thing is not going to go away. And I say this on every program, but I need to say it in every program. In addition to this depression that we're in, that is what it is called in the natural. But from the spiritual point of view, we are experiencing the judgment of God right now across the land. And we need to understand this very thing. We need to understand that it is a biblical judgment that is happening, and it is the hand of God that we are witnessing right now over the land. God has made it very clear. Number one, this thing is not going to be stopped. It's not going to go away. Positive confession will not make it go away. It's going to happen. It's going to play through its fruition. This judgment consists of many, many events and chapters. And I have also described it as a judgment train coming down the tracks. We are at the train crossing right now, and that train is passing us, bringing with it rail cars of different judgments and different events. It's going to get real interesting, folks. Right now, we are just at the beginning of this train of judgment. Many, many more rail cars are coming, folks. And in the coming year of 2011, we are going to see more rail cars arrive. After this judgment is finished, we are going to see the fruition of end-time Bible prophecy, where we actually see the events of the book of Revelation. And one of the biggest characters in end-time prophecy is going to be the one-world government, the new world order, the end-time beast. So out of the events that are happening right now, the end-time beast is going to rise out of the ashes of that. So, my friends, the wise person would do everything he can to educate himself on what all of these things mean. Well, it looks like the halfway point. So, after the break, I am going to talk about a few more things. The New World Order plan that is in motion right now. And I am also going to talk about how the New World Order plan is an engineered plan. All right, folks, we'll see you in a few minutes.
We're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. Give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. And, I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah, it's really that good.
Yeah, she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system, and it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that, and with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Watchman's Cry Ministries would like to take a moment to say thank you to our sponsor, Steve St. Clair of InnerHealth Botanicals. In these days of chemtrails, modified food, and chemical additives, it is more important than ever to do what you can to protect and improve on your health. So head on over to survivetothrive.net and check out their products. That's Survive to Thrive, S-U-R-V-I-V-E, the number 2, T-H-R-I-V-E.net.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, December 28th, 2010, the year of our Lord. And before the break, we were talking about we are facing a crisis that probably rivals any crisis throughout history. So in the year 2011, there are many things going on. And you know, folks, when we examine today's events from the natural and then when we look at them from the standpoint of the puppet masters, we can see that this crisis has the hand of man in it. The players that have had their greedy paws in this thing, Goldman Sachs, for instance, and they've made bets against companies, against governments, and they've shorted stocks and bonds, and they have played the game, and they've become very wealthy by doing this. Now, Goldman Sachs is a name, but behind the name are actual human beings. Human beings that have been misbehaving. Human beings that have played a role in the plundering of the world's wealth. And these individuals that have had a hand in the destruction of the world's economy have a goal in mind. And that goal is to see the New World Order rise up and take over this planet. Now, in addition to these individuals wanting the New World Order, they are being governed themselves by principalities and powers of darkness that are steering them like puppets. And then if we pull back our perspective from there, we see the sovereign hand of God that is allowing all of these things to happen because it is Bible prophecy that is being fulfilled. You know, folks, the Bible says that the beast is going to rise up, controlled by Satan, and it's going to control people to the point where it will actually have the power to kill people, to behead people that do not want to cooperate. It will have the power to take people captive. It will have the power to start wars and have people on the run, to bring great havoc to the world. So evil governments are going to play a big, big role in this story. From that standpoint, if we are watching the New World Order infrastructure under construction right now, then logic would also say that the infrastructure for the governments of tyranny is also under construction right now. And that is also what we can observe when we are seeing all of this crazy legislation that is happening throughout the governments of the world. We are seeing the arrival of tactics from Big Brother, cameras on every corner. We can see them in the United States, in the Eurozone. The tyrannical governments are placing their eyeballs in every street corner in today's modern world. And you know, folks, the amazing thing about watching these things happen is that they seem to be happening at a pace that most people are not noticing. They're happening at a pace that are not drawing a lot of attention and a lot of concern from the majority of the public. I find it very incredible that it's occurring like that. And because it's occurring at that pace, it's able to be successful because people are not worried. And they're also believing the excuses of why these tyrannical tactics are being placed. Of course, it's being done through lies, but the general population believes these lies. And the lie that seems to be the most popular lie is it's to keep you safe. It's to keep you from worrying about terrorists that want to hurt you. So because of that, we have to put our eyeballs and cameras on every corner of your nation and spy on you. And you know, folks, it's amazing that this brainwashing is actually successful. And it's amazing that most individuals are in denial, because most individuals have this idea that the government would never hurt me, quote unquote. So they refuse to believe that the Big Brother tactics are actually happening before their eyes. So as the days progress, we are watching police state infrastructure being built now at a feverish pace in the last several years. When George W. Bush was the president, I was very alarmed at the legislation that was being passed back then after 9/11. The Patriot Act, the Military Commission Act, all these acts that justified the tactics of Big Brother and that justified the radical measures by the United States government to arrest citizens that were accused of being terrorists. And when I heard of those legislative acts, I was very disturbed. But that's really as far as it went. They were just words on paper. But then, in the last several years, Obama came into office, and it cannot be argued that the police state tactics of America have taken on a feverish pitch. And we are seeing the infrastructure being built at a rate that is very, very fast and very, very quick. And as the police state is being built very quickly now, still most people do not notice and most people do not seem to care. As the beast rises up before our faces, people still don't care. So it makes you wonder, will they ever care? Tyranny is arriving. And the thing that I find really amazing is that there's no resistance to it right now. I know that a lot of people say that there's going to be a civil revolt. I hear a lot of people say that, but is that really true? Will people ever really see it and become angry about it? You know, folks, I know that a lot of you that are listeners to this program have been on board, and a lot of you seem to be more awake than the general population. So I'm not talking about you per se in what I'm saying right now. I know that many of you would do what you needed to do to protect your family and to resist invaders, foreign or domestic. So I know that there are many warriors listening to me right now. There are many people who still believe in the Constitution and in freedom right now. So I'm not talking about you. So I believe that many of you probably have the same frustration. But as we watch tyranny arrive here in this country, my friends, will they ever really, really do something about it? You know, folks, in the last several months, when we saw the naked scanners arrive at the airports, I thought to myself, surely someone's going to say something, and this is going to be the tipping point. This is going to be the thing that creates the anger. We're going to see the Patrick Henrys come out of the woodwork and say things. But, well, folks, here we are. Thanksgiving came and it went. Christmas came and it went, and the naked scanners are still there, and, well, the Patrick Henrys didn't really show up, did they? So it makes me wonder. You know, folks, I remember hearing from the Tea Party freedom resistors a few months ago before the election and how they were going to change things. They were going to galvanize the country, mobilize the country, and fix a lot of things. Now, no insult to this audience, but many individuals who said that they were going to resist, I just don't see it, folks. I really don't. Now, I know that when people say it, they really believe it. But, folks, how much of the general population will really rise up? The litmus test came, it's arrived, and the water has been measured. And guess what, folks? So far, their test passed. And I know a lot of people will say, well, I'm a freedom fighter and we will protect. We're not going to put up with that. And to that I say, you know, my friend, God bless you, but really? People can say that they are going to fight for their rights and get angry when freedom gets taken away, but I think that it's human nature to be all talk and no action. It's human nature to have a bark that is worse than the bite. Because as I have observed this naked scanner story, it seems that a lot of people get angry and they complain until it affects their pocketbook, their money, or until it affects their leisure, their convenience. Now think about this, folks. A lot of people may have said they didn't like the naked scanners, but if they were threatened with losing a seat on an airplane and not being able to take that airplane flight, then all of a sudden the anger's gone. All of a sudden, the people are willing to do what it takes to get on that airplane, in spite of what it is doing to our privacy. So, I submit this to you, my friends. Give me liberty or give me death now means give me liberty or give me a plane ticket. You know, I'm really curious about this. It seems that so far, pretty much everyone willingly went to the airport, stood obediently in the single file, and willingly raised their hands as they were groped. Folks, right there, that's a giant psychological brainwashing that occurred. Because when people go through those scanners and then they're groped, they have to hold their hands up. Right there, that's a psychological statement that speaks volumes. It's a gesture of surrender. Raise up your hands while I rob you of your dignity and prove that you're nothing more than part of the herd. Now, the public may bark, but so far, it's subdued with a dog biscuit called an airplane ticket. Ouch, Nathan. That hurt. You know, folks, I know it hurts. It hurts me to say it. But that's what I see when I look out at the free and the brave ones at the airports. The price of freedom used to be the blood of patriots watering the tree of liberty, but now, what's the price? It's an airplane ticket. Folks, there's no way to spin this. We can deny all we want, but the consumer panel of the American public has spoken. And the words were mum. So here is the big, huge, giant question to end the year 2010. How many of the so-called Tea Partiers, how many Republicans, how many NRA members willingly went through the naked scanner in the past month, my friends? I propose many of them did. My friends, I admit that for most of the individuals that I just mentioned that went through those scanners, probably had no idea those scanners were at the airport when they were parking their car, when they were walking into the airport. And probably many were surprised. And I'm sure that those that participated dreaded it and hated it and despised it and even feel horrible about it. This is my point, my friends. The beast is rising right now before our eyes. And unfortunately, it's not going to be stopped. It's not going to be hindered or even delayed because we wrote about it in a forum or on a blog. I know those words are bold and I know they sting. But my friends, that's what we're watching happen. The tyranny has arrived, and very few people resist it. Instead, what we saw was people are willing to stand in line, single file, and behave themselves. Conclusion, many, many people may say that they will resist, but I have yet to see it. This is what is so hard about the situation, my friends. It is a very deceptive, devious scheme. The way that it has crept up on us. Number one, my friends, please know this. I hate it. And I know that you hate it. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do, folks? It's not going to be stopped. It's not going to go away. The bottom line is this. Those of you that call yourself and consider yourself and want to be a part of the remnant need to make some hard decisions. Some of you are going to need to decide to leave the city because the police state is going to have a stronger presence in urban areas, not in the rural areas. Jesus even said, flee to the mountains. Where's that? Well, you're going to need to decide that through prayer, but the time is now to do that. So in watching this TSA naked scanner story, folks, the reason that the TSA did this was not to protect those that are flying on airplanes. That's not the reason they were doing that. Folks, I really believe that this TSA event at airports, the naked scanners, are a huge societal guinea pig experiment. We, the people, are the experiment. And they wanted to see how far they can take it before the public gets angry. They wanted to see how long the public would stay silent. They wanted to see how long the tyranny could be present before people got mad. And folks, you know, their experiment, their trial balloon of the naked scanners was a success for them. Because what they found out was people may say that they're going to get angry, but if they're threatened in their checkbook or their pocketbook or something they bought, if they're threatened with losing something that they paid for, then the people will obey. Interesting, huh, folks? People didn't resist. If some of you are saying, Nathan, I wouldn't do it. I won't fly. Then I congratulate you, my friend. Good. But I am not saying these words because I want to create havoc and I want you to become angry and go do something. I'm just saying that tyranny has arrived in America and a shot was not even fired. The beast is fulfilling prophecy and rising up. And now I see a news story just recently. It's come to my attention that through some of the Obama stimulus money, many city governments, many police departments have purchased mobile guard towers or tactical platforms, I believe they're called. And what these are actual shacks that look like guard shacks on scissor lifts, and police departments can pull them on a trailer. And what they're doing is they're taking them to parking lots like Target and Walmart, different parking lots of shopping malls throughout the country, and they're raising these things up on their scissor lifts. So the guard towers are elevated 20 to 30 feet in the air, and a policeman can sit inside of it, and it looks just like a guard tower with four windows. And with these mobile tyrant shacks, police departments can set up a tower to view the unsuspecting public to make them feel safe and to protect them. So that story is a new story I just came across, and I'm sure that you will be hearing about this very soon. Now, folks, before the program's over, I wanted to touch a few more things. I wanted to leave you with something a little different. So here we are at the halfway point, getting very close to the halfway point of Obamaville. And we can look backwards at 2010 and 2009 and see the record. And it's only fair that at the end of this halfway point, we observe reality from the great bringer of change. He has 2 years left. He has been able to pull off the greatest heist in American history, the heist of freedom, and replace the freedom with the change that he campaigned for. He said, change you can believe in. It was change that he promised, and boy, oh boy, did he bring it. Well, Obama rose from obscurity, and that's the big part of the mystery of Obama. And I have asked the question many times, where did he come from? And many others have asked that question. And because of this mystery, we've all heard the rumors. He's not an American citizen. He's from Kenya. He's from Hawaii. And then we heard the rebuttals of the no birther. He's not from Kenya. He's from Hawaii. See, here's his certificate. But where did he really come from? And because of this mystery, I must make some assumptions through the license of artistic freedom. So, folks, to you, the listeners, I present the Watchman's Cry version of how Obama's moment of creation might have been.
Inject him with the Monsanto hybrid biomass.
Yes, master.
5 cc's? 10 cc's?
It's working, master.
25 cc's? 50 cc's?
Master, He's moving.
And now prepare the plasma ray injection to animate him.
Yes, Master.
Are you ready, Igor? Ignite! Pull the switch!
Yes, Master.
Pull it, Igor! I am waiting!
It won't move, Master.
Igor, pull the switch!
I'm trying, Master.
Use both hands, Igor!
Master, I'm trying.
Igor, you idiot! Try hard!
Oh, use my other arm? Okay. I will try harder, Master.
There you go, Igor!
It's moving, Master. I've done it.
Bravo, Igor! Yes! Now, insert the programming modules into his cerebellum!
Master, his Sarah? Who is she?
Igor! It is his brain, you idiot!
Oh, sorry, Master. Yes, it is done.
Good, good. And now for the climactic part, Igor. We are going to give him his instructions, Igor. Activate download mode.
Yes, Master.
Hello, hybrid creature. Your name is Barack Hussein Obama. You are a great leader. People will love you. So always look confident. Never admit error and smile. Now here are your instructions. When you are president, destroy the United States of America. Crush capitalism. Crush the middle class. Crush the value of assets. Export all the wealth, the savings, the retirement funds from all the elderly. And then nationalize all the free markets, banking, insurance, manufacturing. And finally, change the laws. Become their king. Because they are at your disposal. And now the time for mad laughter. Help me out here, Igor.
Yes, Master.
And after he began, he was groomed with information and instructions that would make him an obedient servant to the puppet masters. The Geppettos in a smoke-filled room with a plan for the New World Order.
All right, let's begin our meeting. Now, the first order of our business, how is our hybrid Obama project coming? And the project for Post-Americana?
We've run into a snag, sir. It appears that the lingering questions remain about the birth origin of Obama.
So what's the problem?
Well, it seems that people are snooping around, raising doubts and theories.
It doesn't matter. Let them raise doubts. Notify the papers and journals to do segments on this question, and just recruit our experts to appear as guests on those newscasts. Label the birth origin mystery as a conspiracy, and call it a kooky fallacy. All in favor say aye.
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 Now, the next order of business. We've been having a problem with the exchange.
And so, my friends, the plan of the New World Order continues. And there are concrete goals of their plan. So let's listen in to them as they talk about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you to Belfast meeting number 2. Welcome, please be seated. Now, I would like to hear reports on as how Operation Parasite is progressing. Are we yet ready for level 3?
Well, sir, we have not finished solidifying level 2 yet.
What do you mean?
Solution level 2 is still in motion. The dollar is in steady decline, and we are successfully maintaining the price of gold and silver, and but we don't know how much longer we can short this. We're trying and we're continuing, but we're still strip mining the markets, but it's slowing down, sir.
That is why we should move to phase 3. To phase 3, you understand?
You see, sir, we cannot move to level 3 until security countermeasures are in place nationwide.
How long will that take?
You see, sir,
We're still training our recruits and...
And what about equipment?
Till our boots are all on the ground in all sectors, we cannot proceed, sir. The mobile tactical platforms are almost all in place, but it looks like we'll need more of them, sir.
Have you yet engaged the dry runs?
Yes, sir, we have done the dry runs. We placed the platforms in many retail parking lots, and their presence was approved according to our polls.
Good, good. Amazing. We have been able to erect guard towers 30 meters tall and not a peep from the public.
Yes, sir. It's amazing what we can do with a little bit of PR. The media, of course, is helping us. The news is helping. And Operation Airport Scanner has been a success. It's amazing the public didn't get bothered by having to disrobe in front of our TSA employees. So it's a success, sir.
So there it is, folks. It appears that we are in a giant experiment. We're the guinea pigs. And many parts of their efforts are underway right now. Now, as I was sharing, my friends, those of us with open eyes and ears can very easily see that the New World Order plan includes the demise of America and the West. And as America declines, there will eventually be a noticeable appearance of tyranny. The big question is, how many people will notice the appearance as it arrives? Will everybody notice? No, I don't believe so. I think that this is what they're preparing for, and they know that eventually some people will start waking up who will be in bad moods. This is why they need to also create chaos, because the chaos needs to be a controlled demolition of America. Right now, we are seeing the financial system being dismantled. And it's being dismantled in a systematic, controlled fashion. It's being made to look necessary, like a good idea, and they're making it so that the public will accept the idea. So part of the coming plan is to let the public know that the financial system is falling apart, but they have a great idea on how to fix it. And in the year 2011, we are going to be hearing more and more about solutions and remedies and alternative ideas, and that will go against what we are used to. But since most of the public is still asleep, there are very high odds that the majority of them will just walk right through the new idea that is presented before them. Obama talked of change that you can believe in, and it looks like this is the change that they can believe in, change that they're going to believe in. You know, folks, it's amazing. Obama said that the change was coming, and the change is here. It's happening, and unfortunately, most people are going to fall right in and accept the change. Well, it looks like I'm out of time, so real quick, I want to say, again, my latest sermon, number 159, has just been put up. It's on the website at watchmanscry.com, and it's a very comforting sermon that will give you a perspective from the spiritual and biblical point of view. My friends, please go listen to it. I believe it will be a source of great comfort. All right, folks? Also, real quick, this ministry is 100% supported by listeners like you, so take it to God, folks. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho 83856. All right, folks, well, the next time that we meet will be in a new year, the year 2011, so my friends, stay safe. Make that commitment to God for the new year, my friends, and we'll see you next year. God bless. Bye-bye.